I had to feel one. Can we start the recording?
Oh, yeah. Juan, can you start recording for us? Okay, easy.
We're recording.
Thank you. Representing Ward 1, Commissioner Rodriguez. I'm going to say he's absent. Our new appointed commissioner to the board, representing Ward 2, Commissioner Burke.
Present.
Representing Ward 3, Commissioner Hunter.
Here.
Representing Ward 4, Commissioner Andrews.
Here.
Representing Ward 5, Chairperson Clark.
Here.
Representing Ward 6, Commissioner Pollack.
Here.
Yeah, and we have quorum. And then Leah? Just before, yes.
I have an email from Mr. Mark Rodriguez saying he'll be calling from his iPhone.
So he'll be calling in later?
Yes. I don't know how soon, but he will be calling in.
Okay. Well, I'll have to note when he gets here. That's great. All right. Real quick, so Joyce will be joining us in about a half an hour to do the staff update and the presentation. So she has asked if we can move some of the agenda items and maybe move on to the subcommittee report first and down just to give her enough time. She had a call that she had to take at 3 p.m.
Is she going to be presenting number 3 on the
Correct. Oh, we need to do the minutes. I totally forgot there's number 2 minutes. Yes. So Joyce is number 3 and number 4 on the docket, and she has stated that she'll be here around at the half hour, she's assuming. But we do have the minutes to go through. Let me see. You want to walk us through that? Chairperson Clark, let me share my screen.
Has everyone had an opportunity to review the minutes from the January meeting?
Yes.
Sorry?
Hello. This is Mark Rodriguez joining in on audio only.
Oh, hi, Commissioner Rodriguez.
I can't hear you very well. I can't hear you. You sound like you're in a cavern.
Well, I don't know where the microphone is.
You know, Leah, all of a sudden we have a feedback problem.
Yes, we have that issue. So, Commissioner Rodriguez. You can please mute yourself.
I didn't get the whole thing there, Leah. You still sound like in a chamber or something, and you're being cut off.
Well, I don't know what to do about that.
That's better.
Question before us is, has everyone had an opportunity to review the minutes of the January 4th meeting?
Yes.
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 After reading the agenda minutes, I would move that we vote to accept these minutes as accurately reflecting the business conducted at the January 4th meeting.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that, Commissioner Pollack.
Is there any discussion? Leah, would you call the roll, please, on the motion?
Oh, approval of the minutes. Commissioner Rodriguez, do you approve of the minutes from January 4th? I don't know if you can hear. Okay, we'll
come back to Commissioner Rodriguez.
Okay, Commissioner Hunter?
Were you here? Yes.
Commissioner Andrews?
Yes.
Yes. Commissioner Clark?
Yes.
Commissioner Pollack?
Yes.
Commissioner Andrews, can you hear me?
Commissioner Rodriguez.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Commissioner Rodriguez?
Yes.
Okay. Minutes are approved. Okay, great.
At the clerk's request, we'll go to item 6.
Did you want to do item 5 or 6 first? That's up to you. It's 3 and 4 that you should raise this year.
Item 4.
Okay.
5.
So item 5 is a code enforcement update and report review.
Okay. Commissioner Pollack. We had another meeting with the subcommittee on December 6th, I believe, and we arrived at what we hope is the final draft of the code enforcement report. And I believe everybody got that emailed to them. I'm trying to figure out what we want to even look at. It might look kind of daunting because it's a lot of pages. However, the report itself that we drafted is only goes through page 7, I believe. All the rest of it goes through page 9. The rest of the information that is in the report are attachments to the report. And it's page 7, actually. So page 1 through 7 is the results of investigations and audits over the last few months for the code enforcement. So what we tried to do is...
What are you doing?
What?
We're not dealing with draft number 11.
Yeah, well, it's fine.
Is that draft 11? Yeah, 1.2.
It's the final draft. 11 was the final draft. So
yeah.
Whether you call it the final or draft 11, same thing.
Yeah. So basically, we've got an introduction as to why we were doing the audit. We've got the scope of the audit to try and describe what it was we were looking for. Basically, we were evaluating practices, evaluating current code enforcement, effectiveness, code enforcement practices, and how they align with legal requirements that they are required to enforcing. Then on page two, we've got the process that we undertook to do the audit, gathering information, doing interviews, even to the field. And we've got that. Then we've got results at the bottom of page two. And the results we aligned with the original, with the scope, basically. So we tried to address each one of the topics in the scope. First one was alignment of current practices with legal requirements. The second was the efficiency of current code enforcement practices. The third one is effectiveness of code enforcement practices. And then we get into additional observations that maybe didn't fall in those categories. Finally, we've got subcommittee recommendations. And so, and the rest of the information in the report is what the original request from for the code enforcement audit from the city, plus that came from the Ward 3 office. Then we've got the scope statement that we had created and the sub-statements of the scope. Then we've got an attachment C. We've got the different codes that are assigned to code enforcement to investigate and abate. Attachment D is the their procedures manual, which is quite a few pages. Then we've got on, if you go further down, we've got attachment.
Commissioner, pardon? Just a point of order. Should the subcommittee vote on the report before it's presented to the full commission?
Well, the subcommittee approved the final report, right? Yes. However, the full committee does need to approve the full report so that then it can be issued to mayor and council.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I just thought we had to have another procedure prior. I just wasn't aware that the full subcommittee approved.
Yes, yes. So all three subcommittee members did approve the final report. And I was taking that. You all approved via email. And I took that as acceptable.
Commissioner Pollack, excuse the interruption, please.
No, that's okay. That's okay. So we got attachment D is the code enforcement manual. And then at the very end, we've got attachment E, which is our actual random case sampling that we looked at to use for some of our conclusions. So I don't know, has everybody... So I know the three people on the commission who were in the subcommittee have thoroughly reviewed this report. We've made, you know, changes and changes to it. Have the other two members of the IAPC, other three members now, have you had time to review the report? So I'd like to know, you know, first of all, if people did have time to review it. And if so, do you have any questions?
Hi, this is Commissioner Hunter. Sorry, I hear an echo. I did look at it.
I
have any questions. And I just want to thank you guys on the commission. I know this was a long process to get to this report. So thank you for that.
Great. Thank you for the feedback.
This is Commissioner Rodriguez. It was an excellent report. A lot of time went into that, pretty extensive. I have not had a chance to read all of it, but I have been reading the attachment. And I'm actually very pleased. It's pretty a lot more than we had before.
Okay, thank you for the feedback. And we've got a new commissioner, Commissioner Burke.
Yes.
Have you had time to look at any input? I'm not sure when your appointment was, so I don't know.
I only know that Leah invited me to the meeting recently, and I did get the attachments that everyone else got, and I had a chance to go through. Obviously, I don't understand the history behind a lot of this, but I'll catch up to it. I've read through it. I'll have questions.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
And you said you don't have any questions so far?
Correct.
Okay, great. Because, we're open. Go ahead.
Oh, just up to the commissioners. I know Rodriguez said he didn't have time to read it in full, but if he's comfortable in voting on it, or if the commissioners would like another month. And because the full commission needs to vote to accept it before it gets sent on. So if you want to take that vote now or later, I guess that's a matter for the commission. Or is anybody opposed to taking it now? Would anyone like to delay the vote so they have more time with the material?
Do I have a motion to accept the report?
Now,
I would move to accept this report as submitted with.
Commissioner Paula, were you trying to say something?
I was just going to make that motion. But so we have a motion to accept the report as is?
That's what the report has been made. There's been no second.
I'll second. Bruce Burke.
Any discussion?
Yes. I would invite the full commission to consider amending the closing sentence of this report. Right now it says the IAPC is grateful for the opportunity to conduct the audit of code enforcement. And this effort and the request for an audit was brought forth by Councilman Paul Durham, who subsequently left the council and has passed away. And I thought amending that final sentence and for your consideration, something such as the Independent Audit Performance Commission, IAPC, is grateful for the guidance of Councilman Paul Durham in bringing forth the audit request, or this audit request, and would like to acknowledge the health of city staff in the audit process.
That sounds like a great idea to me.
Are you moving to amend the report?
If there's no objections, then I will amend my motion to accept this report with an amended closing sentence that states the IAPC is grateful for the guidance of Councilman Paul Durham in bringing forth this audit request and would like to acknowledge the help of city staff in the audit process. The rest of the report would remain unchanged.
Do I get a second?
No, I'm the second, and I'll accept the amendment.
Any further discussion? Ms. Fay, would you call the roll?
Commissioner Rodriguez, do you accept the code enforcement report?
Yes, I do.
Commissioner Burke?
Yes.
Commissioner Hunter?
Yes.
Commissioner Andrews?
Yes.
Commissioner Clark?
Yes.
Commissioner Pollack?
Yes.
Right. The report has been accepted with the amendment made by Commissioner Andrews. I will make that amendment to the actual paper and get that issued out to mayor and council. Do you have that written, your language?
Well, thank you. Now, Leah, can you... I'm not familiar enough with what the next step is. Do we just issue it to mayor and council, or do we have to present it to them, or what? I don't know how that next part goes.
I believe we just issued it to them. However, I will follow up to see if there needs to be a presentation to mayor and council, because this was a request from a formal council member. So let me follow up on that, and I will get back to you.
I believe that we're forward our report, and the mayor and council wishes any further information, they can direct us.
Okay, that's your understanding. Fantastic.
Well, and maybe Commissioner Hunter can shed some light on that, because the last report was done while she was assistant head of the commission. Can you tell us anything, Commissioner Hunter?
Yes. I will say the last time we did this, we did not present mayor and council submitted the report. And they did not ask for any presentation. So that was what happened last time.
Well, who does it get distributed to?
Aaron gets care of distributing it to mayor and council. So we don't actually, I didn't email it out. They take care of that.
Okay. So all of our, is it correct in assuming all of our reports always get distributed to mayor and council, and we just leave that up to the internal auditors? To do that.
I do believe the city staff does present the materials to mayor and council. I can indicate that I was on the committee, a commission, at a time when there was some question, and mayor and council had us make a presentation on it when they had further questions.
Okay. Right, so internal audit, we work on submitting it and getting it first to mayor and council, and then if mayor and council so choose, they can ask for a presentation.
Okay, no problem. I just wasn't sure where our reports went after they got done. Okay, and so you will be making the changes, Leah, and then you're going to send it to mayor and council, but then we all get a copy then, or how does that work? Do we just have to find it on the website? Will you notify us when it's been issued? Because I know people that are waiting to read it.
Oh, well, yes, if you like, once we issue it to mayor and council, we can send it on to you as well, and I'll find out what happens, like where it gets posted at that point.
Okay,
would
perfect.
Simpler just to copy the final page with the changed final statement rather than redoing the whole report.
Yeah, I have to make that. I'll have to make the change in the Word doc, and then, But that's my concern. Don't worry. I'll take care.
I just didn't want to have to download the whole thing again.
No.
Well, more thing. I'd like to thank the commissioners that worked on this audit, because it took a lot of time, and Commissioner Andrews was there, the whole time. Commissioner Clark, thank you for joining, partway through the process. It's hard to pick up where somebody is in an audit. And the three of us, I think work pretty good together in accomplishing the goals of the audit. So thank you very much for working on this.
One other issue in response to Commissioner Pauley's question. A copy of this does go to the city manager, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Not just the mayor. Correct.
To
the city manager.
To city manager. A copy will also go to Carlos and his team at code enforcement. That is true as well. They have been asking when it was going to get issued. So I'll let them know. All right, so number six.
Number six. Has everyone had an opportunity to review the presentation?
The six-month activity report?
Right.
So we're now talking about the six-month activity report.
Consisting of two pages and a cover letter.
Are we needing to make a motion to accept the report?
Yes, or if there are any changes that want to be made on that.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion that we accept the report as written.
Okay.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion. Sure.
Any discussion? I would simply like to point out that the report does show that there were 2 months during this period of time that the commission did not meet. Or at least 1 month, December.
Do you want to take the vote? So we have a motion and a second to accept the six-month activity report as written.
Is there any further discussion? Will you call the vote, please?
Yes. Commissioner Rodriguez. Accepting the 6 month activity report.
This is Commissioner Rodriguez. Yes.
Commissioner Burke?
Yes.
Commissioner Hunter?
Yes.
Commissioner Andrews?
Yes.
Commissioner Clark?
Yes.
Commissioner Pollack?
Yes.
All right, the 6 month activity report has been approved. I will arrange with Chairperson Clark to sign it, and we will issue that off to Mayor and Council.
Moving on to number seven. We are scheduled to discuss the purpose and the procedures for the IABC. I will start off by saying I have been really concerned, now that Mr. Burke is with us, we are almost at full capacity, almost. But that I believe the lack of compliment has impacted on the Commission's ability to perform its function.
I did send everybody off the bylaws and the data page for the Commission. commission, if we want that to be reviewed.
I'd just like to comment that it is promising that now we have Ward 2 commissioner seat filled. I personally still think that the commission is a very valuable for reviewing processes in city departments. I did have I went to a Ward 3 meeting this week on environmental type issues, and talking to the Ward 3, talking to a Ward 3 person, she wasn't really aware of the scope of what the IAPC could do. And she thought it was only financial. And so maybe, because we need people from all over the city, whether it's through the ward office or through whatever means, we need people to know what it is we can do audits of and what we can look at. So maybe I'm just pitching out that we might need some kind of a communique to ward offices, mayor and council, to talk about what things the IAPC can do and how it can help them. Because I don't think the bylaws really explain much, and if you, as far as what the IAPC can do, and in fact it kind of points to the fact that it is financial, so like it's all just financial reviews. And so I don't know, I'm just, you know, thinking out loud, not that I'm trying to make up work for people, but we have an awful lot of city processes, and I have just in my own neighborhood people that are dissatisfied with certain things that occur in certain departments, and they keep repeating. And so it would benefit everybody if we could keep going as a commission and keep finding processes that don't seem to be working correctly, or there's questions about how they work, and keep looking at these topics. So that's just kind of my feedback on. I'm still hearing complaints from people all over and needs for improving processes. And I think this commission can really do a service if we do reviews on city processes.
My understanding, it can follow up on anything the mayor and council or the city manager requests us to follow up on. Or if the commission itself, by a vote, determines to look into something, we have the authority to do that. Pretty broad authority, I think.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
A question. How do matters traditionally in recent past get to this commission? Is it all by referral, or can you reach out and make a decision by your own?
Since I have been on this commission, the only thing that we have functioned on was by referral in terms of in-depth evaluations.
Is that including your previous?
My previous time on the commission, we followed through on a number of requests from the mayor and council, from the city manager, and from some of the items that the commission itself wanted to look into. We emphasized that ability through a number of subcommittees.
Can you give us a sample of what those committees
Well, one of the regular things that we're going to get onto today, of course, is the financial report. I personally served on the subcommittee to look into the police response.
I brought a couple examples. Unfortunately, I have a paper here that I can share with people in the room, but just prior that the commission was looked at Tucson Gulf and how they repaid the general fund for subsidies, the Gulf expenses, and that was something that the commission had looked at in the past. They had looked at the internal service fund and fleet. So we're asking the Independent Audit Performance Commission to review the city's general service internal service fund, as was previously performed for fleet services, and to look at are the services provided by fleet competitive locally, and what methods and rates is the internal service fund use in calculating that.
I was on a commission, subcommittee, to look into the evaluation of the fleet with possibility of commercial substitution.
There was one about a review of the transit financial forecast when they were looking at some of like the 5-year forecasts that the city did and what those were in relation to the transit. So many of these that I looked at did seem to come from requests from council members or requests from the city manager's office. I don't know if that helps at all. I can share some of this with you.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
In Article 8 of our bylaws, Section 2, it actually states that any member of the commission can bring forward topics for future agenda items. And in response to Commissioner Burke's question, we have on a number of occasions brought forward topics to gather information about and decide whether to proceed with an audit of that topic or not. And there is a matter pending. You have a presentation by Tucson Police, and the commission has yet to decide whether to proceed with further action there. And I know in the past there have been some topics that audits spawn from member requests, commission requests, and gathering documentation at both commissions or in proceeding with the office.
Mr. Chairman, in terms of the mission of the commission, when we think of the word audit, what's it mean? This is financial audits, but I gather this is a broader charge than simply the finances of any particular section of department of the city.
Yes. One, we do have to involve with the comprehensive financial city report. But yes, other, I don't know if you can ever totally divest yourself from the financial issues. Even in the subcommittee report, we considered that the staff was understaffed and under supported with the software. some extent that has financial implications also. Well, we also, on that one, looked at the function of the organization.
Yeah.
That particular request of former councilman
Durham.
Directly asked us to look into the functions.
So, Mr. Chairman, as what the majority of us are appointed by ward council persons, is there a reporting function or a communication function we actually need to check in with council persons and staff?
My experience over a number of years has been I have a good relationship with the councilman who appointed me, and I keep him abreast of it, but there's no formal function. And I've known several other commissioners who can report back, especially if they're concerned about something.
I'm going to pull this up. Aaron just sent it to me. As soon as we it's the articles that did form the commission. So it talks about the commission, the membership of the commission, the qualifications that we ask our members to have, the term they serve, the functions and duties. I think this is the part, right? So to review and provide comment to the city manager and the mayor and council related to the city's annual audit plan. That is something we review with you. Our annual audit plan matches our fiscal year, so it is July through June. Upon direction from mayor and council or city manager, or upon a majority vote of the commissioners, to provide independent appraisal of city programs, policies, and functions in order to help management perform more efficiently and effectively, and or to recommend that mayor and council commission an independent firm to perform such appraisals. Upon direction from mayor and council or the city managers, or upon majority vote of the commissioners, to examine financial reports, various records, and procedures to determine compliance with applicable ordinances, regulations, policies, and contractual provisions, and or to recommend the mayor and council commission an independent firm to perform such an examination. Under direction of mayor and council or city manager, or upon majority vote of the commissioners, to evaluate the city's internal control structure and recommend improvements that help safeguard city assets. So that is very broad, and to Commissioner Pollack's point, it does encompass more than just the financials when we're talking about the appraisal of city programs and functions. Chair, we have our bylaws. We're not allowed to incur any expenses without authorization. So it's really that section here, section 10A-122, about the functions and duties. And so I believe either the commissioners voting amongst themselves on issues they would like to, or in conversations with their council members, is what the commission needs to.
And I object at this point that since we are slowly but surely approaching a full complement. Perhaps that knowledge should be spread among the city manager and the mayor and council. Perhaps we might get more frequent requests.
Of course.
I think that would be a great idea, because I really don't think that all the current players, because council people, you know, turn over and so do their staff and everything. I don't think they quite know what it is the IAPC can do. So that would be helpful.
Chairman, this is Commissioner Rodriguez. I have a question. Going back a bit regarding vacancies, is the mayor's representative position filled yet? I'm glad to hear that Ward 2 is filled. Didn't know that. But is the mayor's position filled yet, or is that still vacant?
No, we're still waiting.
Yes, mayor is still vacant.
Well, I'm still concerned about that because I think that person, whoever that person would be, might be a little bit more proactive in relaying our concerns, being part of the this attendance of these meetings to stress certain points, and I'm just thinking that. Since I've been on over a year, we haven't had a representation from the mayor's office.
Councilman Rodriguez, I share your concerns.
How long has it been? About 3 years.
Really? 3 years. Since the mayor's had a representative? I'm assuming so. Like, Aaron, you might know better than I, or?
Hello, Chairman, members of the commission. The Mayor Romero had an appointee before she was mayor. When she was at a ward office, that appointee carried over to when she first got elected as the mayor, and then resigned soon after that. The appointee resigned, and then we have not had a representative since then.
Thank you for that information. I'm just concerned that it remains open. Is there anything we as a commission can stress that this is very important to the mayor and council to get that position filled?
That is precisely why I had this matter put on the agenda for today, so we can discuss the possibility.
I'm sorry?
And I would say, Mr. Chairman, that might be a chairman's responsibility if you felt comfortable with it. I'm very new here.
Yeah. I, for what it's worth, I went to this, my council person twice with a request that it would be an informal approach. And the last time, at least a memo was sent out.
You are the result of that, I think, to some extent. Okay. I still haven't heard yet from the mayor's office. And of course, there's a re-election coming up. Right. Mr. Chair, I might, in 2014, then the council person, Regina Romero, advanced a request to the city council requesting that the council itself amend the ordinance to give this commission the authority to bring its own agenda items forward. And in that amendment, it was stressed that the IAPC is an independent body, and I think we, the commissioners, need to remember that we are independent, and that's part of the makeup and the reason for creating this commission. And so while we report back to our council persons that appointed us, we are an independent body. And each of us has a responsibility in our bylaws state that we can't express opinions of our own in the course of business. We can express opinions that are the opinions of the full commission. So in that regard, I would say if we have an agenda item and we decide that we want to send a letter from the commission to the mayor expressing the commission's perspective on having this position vacant for so long, that would be an appropriate approach and fit with our government documents.
Do I have a motion on that issue?
I make a motion for that.
Second?
I'll second.
Do we have any further discussion?
I would be interested in if we do that letter, if it's stated possibly some time frame for a response, because I just think it's important that it doesn't get dragged on and that we just get a time frame given all the work that the commissioners do, volunteer, and extensive reports and time, that they would take the time to look into this matter.
Commissioner Rodriguez, while we are an independent body, I don't think we can lay down conditions to the mayor's office. We can indicate what we would like.
Okay. What do you suggest?
Well, a letter would have to get drafted. So if somebody is willing to take that first step of drafting this letter, and then the letter would need to go before the commission for approval, and then it can be sent on to the mayor. But I think you could make it heavy word, strong worded, or heavy handed, if you would, and you could. But well, that's up to the commission.
It strikes me that we can say, well, send a letter saying, and before the next meeting, we would really appreciate consideration of making an appointment so that this commission is a full body commission. But do we have to wait a month to approve this letter, or can we act on the approval by, you know, sometimes files on this unanimously said?
No, we can't do that because if we're going to meet as a commission, we have to give notice and we have to be allowed to
provide the opportunity
to input. Well then, I think we have a motion on the floor.
We do. And a second, for the letter, it would just be somebody volunteering to draft the letter, like,
right.
Yes.
Then I'll call the question.
Call the question.
What's the question? The question is, do we want to write a letter to the mayor expressing dissatisfaction on her ability to appoint a person to this commission?
I wouldn't phrase it as dissatisfaction, but
okay.
I'd rather
okay.
The desire to desire.
Okay. Well, I'm not asking
the letter. I just want to be careful with the record shows here.
Careful with the language here. Commissioner, all right, Commissioner Rodriguez, Mayor?
I think just being polite, but just being direct about this. I was wondering also if we talked to our own ward representatives about this issue, if that's something that might be something else we could do. I don't want it to be heavy-handed or anything like that. I think it's important to just be clear about our concerns and also that stress, I think also the importance of having a member representative from the mayor's office part of our meetings here so they get a better understanding of what we're doing and what's possible.
Commissioner Rodriguez, I'm sorry, but I think we have a roll call going on.
No, we need approved.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we have to continue the roll call.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Right.
So that was the, you approved, correct, Commissioner Rodriguez?
The motion.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. The question again?
Do you approve the motion to
Yes, given the concerns we mentioned. Yes.
Okay. Commissioner Burke?
Yes.
Commissioner Hunter?
Yes.
Commissioner Andrews?
Yes.
Commissioner Clark?
Yes.
Commissioner Pollack?
Okay, I have one question. There's so much feedback, I didn't understand what we're voting on. So if you could please repeat that, that would be great.
Voting on the motion to write a letter to the mayor, asking her to address the vacancy on the commission.
I vote yes. Thank you.
Okay. So the motion was approved. Do we have a volunteer to draft the letter?
I could take a shot at drafting the letter. I've already sent it before.
So Commissioner Pollack will draft the letter.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Commissioner Pollack? Commissioner Pollack, this is Commissioner Rodriguez. If you need any help, I'd be willing to assist.
Okay, thank you. I'm not sure how we do that, though. I would send it to Leah. She could send it out to the commissioners, maybe, for a comment. And then we'll collect any feedback, I'm thinking. Would that be right, Leah?
Yes, the old meeting left.
Commissioner Rodriguez, could you mute your phone, please? Yes, you would need to send that to me. I would have to send it out to the other commissioners. Not allowed to communicate directly with them about commission business.
Is there any other discussion on this issue? I suggest we go back. We now have Ms. Carlin with us. Perhaps we should go back to item number four?
Three.
And
then four.
And I'll make it quick. And my apologies for being late. I had a phone call I just needed to attend to. So, and I'll introduce myself in case you don't know me. I'm Joyce Garland. I retired from the city of Tucson as the chief financial officer, assistant city manager, and when there became a vacancy in the business services director position, the city manager asked if I could come back out of retirement and do the role. So I have been back since over a year now, but I'm fine. So as far as staff updates, I did want to talk to the commission a little bit about the mayor and council retreat that occurred in February. Every year, mayor and council have a retreat, and then at that retreat, they talk about those priorities of the community and those items that we've been working on and what the future looks like. This year was a little different in that in the correspondence with mayor and council, there has been a lot done. And particularly from 2020, before the pandemic started, the city manager provided mayor and council with over 40 documents of those items that we've been working on as an organization for this community. It was a lot of information, and I would have brought all 40 pages for you, but instead I only brought seven. And I didn't know how many commissioners would be on team, so we could send that out separately to them. But if you don't mind, I'd like to just give you a copy of the memorandum that the city manager put together. And just chat a little bit about what's going on. He talks about all of the things that we've been working on as an organization and what we've been doing for the city itself. But he also wanted Mayor and Council to understand the magnitude of the challenges that we're having due to staff. So, like, it's great and we're able to do a lot, but it has become so much with the turnover and the top challenges that we've been having that things are starting to slow down in the progress of where we would like to be. And so he wanted to just put forward those items that we're working on. And that's actually, it starts on moving forward. We talk about there's 16 different items that we're working on to help retain staff, to attract staff. It's a lot of work that we've been doing to proceed on those regards. He also wanted to tell Mayor and Council what we're doing to change that. And it's really rethinking the work and how we do the work. There's maybe better ways to do it, how we come up with improvements to the work that we do. Are there other opportunities to do that? It has been a challenge. I'll tell you just in the Business Services Department itself. Again, you don't know much about the structure, but in that, I will say, out of the 10 finance manager positions I have 7 of them vacant. So that kind of tells you how difficult it is just to get the talented and skilled staff that you need in order just to do the basics. So it kind of the foundation of the organization to keep it running, you know, to pay people to do this report, to do the budget, risk management, all of those different items. So he wanted to just express to Mayor and Council, this is a challenge that we're facing, and we're not the only ones. This is actually national going on, and it's just not in our operating organizations. We talk a lot about that when it comes to police, fire, just getting our roads fixed, that the staffing can be an issue. And you're able to augment some of that with a different way of thinking. And we're doing that in the support services area. But you just want to have that conversation with councils to let them understand, we know the priorities and we're working on, but this is a challenging time and we just need to have a different focus on how we overcome that challenge. So it's all in here. He also talked to them about the current priorities that are on the plate, where we are in those, and then he talked about a 5-year investment plan. And I'm not sure if that investment plan has been discussed with the commission previously. Okay. Well, then I'm going to kind of leave it at that, because you can read it here, because it's actually, I'll show it to them in this wonderful document, which is the next agenda item. And secondly, just to give you an update, there has been a recruitment for the business services director, and we'll see how that goes.
For the commissioners that are joining us virtually, I will scan in this memo and send it to you. The memo that Joyce is referring to from the mayor and council retreat, and I will take care of that this evening. Or
just a question. As a result of this memo, did any elements of the vision change now and get dropped off of the whole plan?
They're actually, the manager is putting together a response at the request of the mayor. She asked for a response from the retreat, a follow-up, but that has not been dropped yet.
I'm sorry, I confused me. Who was going to respond?
The city manager.
City manager is the one who presented the issue.
He did, and as the discussion occurred during the retreat, she wants a follow-up memorandum as to what was discussed. Are there any questions for staff update? Or anything you would like to know under staff update?
pretty busy doing the cataract.
It's done. I'm busy with the budget now.
In that case, we want to move on to item...
Four.
Yeah.
You would.
All right, so, and I think Leah was able to at least give you a printed copy of the annual comprehensive financial report for the time ending June 30th, 2022. Yes, it did take us longer to do this, and they've been sent the link.
Yes, Leah, okay. Yes, everyone got the digital copy.
Great. So, and I know you've had prior conversations before, but some may not have. I just wanted to kind of walk through the document a little bit because it is broken up into different sections. First, what was the question? You know, the great artwork by me. Got a lot of art. It has a transmittal letter, which is really outlining what the report is. We talk about demographics of the community, and we talk about those different programs that we've been working on during this time. It talks about the local economy, what our budget controls are, and so forth. We'll be able to read through that. There's an organizational chart, including officials chart. And then we always put in a copy of our previous certificate of achievement from the Government Finance Officers Association. So you'll see that in just the introduction section. Then you go into the financial section, and that's where you'll find the auditor's report. We always do very well in our financial statement presentation. We have the government-wide statements in here, which is taking government funds and turning them more into a business-type look at financial statements. So they're in here. And then we have what we call major funds. And for the city of Tucson, our major fund is, of course, the general fund, the mass transit fund. We have the Section 115 trust. And for you, those that don't know what that is, the city of Tucson went out for certificates of participation in order to pay our public safety pension obligations. So that's a trust. It's considered a major fund in the sense that of how much money is sitting into it. There's also the Tucson Water Utility is a major fund, and so is the Environmental Services. So I won't walk through all of them. What I'd like to do is kind of take you to certain pages that we can show you how well we're doing as far as the money that the city has currently has. So if you wouldn't mind, if you have it, it's on page 54. And this is, it shows what we call the fund balance. So in the fund balances, this is broken down on page 54. You'll see this fund balance classification. So the fund balance is really the difference between your assets and liabilities, and it's a remainder. What I like to tell people is just think of it as a little bit like your own little savings account. Right. And in that savings account, you designate dollars for certain things. So the city of Tucson, we have in these designations, and we'll look at the general fund because that's where the investment plan is that I'll walk over with you. We have things that are called non-spendable. So like inventory, the city actually has a long-term investment that we cannot cash for. It's still got at least 15 more years on it. So it's not available. Right? That cash isn't available for spending. It's tied up. And then we have a small interfund loan, and that interfund loan is between the general fund and the golf course. That has been paid down over the course of 10 years. This is the remainder of that loan, $178,000, and that will be paid off in 2030. I'm so excited. Then we go further down in the next category, which is restricted. So in restricted, those dollars are specified for a specific purpose of which mayor and council cannot change what they're specified for. So a lot of that has to do with the crime prevention dollars that we get from Counter Narcotics Alliance. There's the FAERS program. So we're not able to change the makeup. Those can only be used for a specific purpose. And most of it is in the public safety realm there. Then we have the committed, which again, these are dollars that have been committed for a certain purpose. In here we have revolving loans that we do for small businesses. We have a third party that actually manages those loans. We have money that's been set aside because of the annexation agreement for Raytheon to do a buffer between it and the surrounding areas. We have our stabilization fund. So the stabilization fund is actually that. Those are dollars that are set aside to stabilize the city's finances if something should occur. Now it's restricted because that's the last bucket of money you would use in case something happens. So it's been, I think this is our second year, it's set at our financial policies of 10% of revenues. So we're there. Almost $65 million is set aside just to stabilize things if anything should occur. We have parks and recreation projects, which we have dollars set aside for. And again, we have a lot of things that have to do with crime prevention, litter cleanup. We have some zoo expansion projects. Those dollars are set aside for it. Economic initiatives. Those have to do with agreements that we've made. And then we will have monies due to them in the future as soon as some kind of threshold or some kind of, my mind just went blank. Something happens that they did right, and then we will release the dollars. And I know there's a word for it. Just not come to me at the moment. And just a couple other miscellaneous things that are committed. Now, here we get then into the assignments. So assignments then, and we reassign dollars every year. It's the intention of mayor and council that these dollars from our savings account are set aside for this specific purpose. So we have always had a management contingency. So that's built in the budget, just in case it's needed. And those are the dollars that back it up. So we've set aside dollars for parks. We have elevator that we're redoing. So a fuel contingency, which we've had to use lately because of the price of fuel. So instead of taking from ongoing revenues, we set aside this one-time money to help us mitigate those increases in costs. We have dollars set aside for new vehicles. We have money set aside, but most of these are our projects that will be completed within 1 year. So we set aside our savings accounts for one-time items so that we don't have to set aside our ongoing revenue, and we can use the ongoing revenue for operations.
Just as I understand it, this is the report for fiscal year in the past.
Yes. But this is set aside, this money here is set aside to be spent in 23. And so then we get to the next one, which is where we get to our investment plan. So you'll notice after under Moonshot, this acceleration program, which is on page 55, the mayor and council specify that they are setting aside every year for 5 years these dollar, and this is an annual amount, for these different programs. So it's $4 million for collector streams, $18 million for our public safety, for equipment, apparatus, like fire apparatus, and other items for public safety. Public safety meaning police, fire, and public safety communication departments. Then we have facility maintenance program. We're putting more dollars into the maintenance to the city property. We have ADA compliance. We have to invest dollars in technology. And I don't know how much you're aware, but cybersecurity is a huge issue. And we need to make sure that we don't have any holes in that. So a lot of money has to be invested in keeping us current. We've set dollars aside for transit capital. And also, and this is only a one-year program, Mayor and Council have actually, we're not charging fares for our transit program, which is one time. It's until June 30, 2023. So this money is set aside for that particular purpose, to make sure that the operations of the mass transit is whole. So that's what the 9.1 is. And then we just have a few other items here that have been set aside. And then you'll see this thing that says one-time supplemental budget. That's $10 million. Well, when we were doing the budget process last year, we knew the revenues were coming in, and they were coming in really well. We had a feeling, and we always project pretty well on where they're going to come in. But we were actually surprised that they came in considerably more than we anticipated. Well, during this process, we said, okay, we have about $10 million available, so let's put that in the budget. And then after the budget, Mayor and Council can discuss how we're going to use those dollars. And that's probably a discussion for another time if the commission is interested, because that has been already taken place. But I wanted to kind of show you those pieces. So when I talk about the investment plan, or they talk about it in that memorandum, it's the $4 million through the $2,500,000. That's what they're calling the investment plan. So right now you see the annual amount. There'll be the same amount set aside for 24, 25, and 26. So if you look at just, let's call the collectors, the streets, the collectors, so it's 5 times 4 million, $20 million over a 5-year period for collector streets. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's how you can kind of read it and then follow how that relates then to the budget. So this is in alignment with it. And then each of the funds then has some set aside. So transit, you can just see that, and I won't go through that. But the Section 115 Pension Trust, you'll see $536 million. That is committed to those pension obligations. And then just so forth in different ones. And if you're interested in knowing a little bit more, definitely we can do some kind of presentation on that. The other item I wanted to just bring to your attention, because we are looking at the notes here, the financial statements, is note 3 on page 56. There are two funds which are currently in a deficit. One is Park Two Sun, and Park Two Sun is the fund of which manages all of our parking garages, the street parking, you know, your money in the meters. That's what that fund does, and it is in a deficit. It's in a deficit because of the pandemic. At that time, there was no fees being collected. So, but we still had operations. We still had to provide security in all of our parking garages. We still had to maintain them. So there were ongoing costs. The money wasn't coming in. So they used up all their reserves that were set aside for future. And now it has run into a deficit. So I'm working with the city manager to mitigate that deficit now. The other one that went into a deficit was the risk management fund. The risk management fund is actually a trust fund. It is our public liability and our workers' comp because the city is self-insured. There were some costs that we didn't expect when in fiscal year 22. That being the state actually put in a fire cancer prevention and mitigation amount, of which all the cities are obligated to put money into. We weren't aware of it at the time, and so we didn't set the rates accordingly. And then we had stop loss insurance, so I don't know if you're aware, but most insurance across everywhere has gone up. And it's continuing to increase. And we're not only seeing that in public liability, we're also seeing that in health insurance, right? We didn't anticipate as large of an increase as we actually had to pay. And then there were just a few other minor things, but those were the major issues there. So it did go into a deficit. Now, what's the challenge in the financial statements when you see that particular fund go into a deficit is that fund, this, actually goes to the Industrial Commission of Arizona, and they regulate us on our self-insurance. When they see the deficit, there's actually a state statute that says that you must, it shall, take care of that deficit right away. Well, came as a little bit of a surprise, so we did mitigate that, and we went back to the commission, and they're fine with the way that we mitigated. In other words, during 23, we did a lot of operating transfers from all the funds to put enough cash into the fund to mitigate that. Now, why that is important, if we would not have mitigated it, the city would have had to put up a bond. And that bond would have cost the city $38 million. So you mitigated that right away. I definitely will keep a good watch on that, and we're taking care of that right now. The other one that I wanted just to point out was the cash standing in the city at well over $2 billion. At June 30. So I know there's a lot of reading material in here. Each fund has its own set of financial statements. There's also budget to actual statements that you can peruse. I do know that the commission is supposed to have a report on this to mayor and council. So be glad to answer any questions on it that comes up. But you definitely get a good time to read it.
Yes.
There are currently some projects that are underway that are funded by tax revenues on the Oversight Commission for roads and streets, as an example. Where do we find those funders in the budget?
All right. Well, now you're going to make tax my brain to find them here. They're in here.
I'll give you all the time.
Yeah. So, let's see, I'm going to take you to, they're under capital projects. Well, are you on the Better Streets Improvement?
I am on.
Because that one, that's what I'm
on. Oversight Commission.
Okay,
now, on
Oversight.
Now retitled Accountability and something else.
All right, so on page 125. This is where you'll see the projects that we did. It's called the 2020 General Obligation Connections Improvement. Okay, that's the balance sheet of those are the geo bonds for the streets right there and the connections.
And then there's a revenue stream from sales tax. So.
That actually didn't begin until July 1st.
Oh, okay.
So it won't be in here. It'll be in the next. But that's why I was asking you about the Better Streets, because that was a sales tax, and that is actually in there, 200, and it's called, that's on page 122, that's where the balance sheet is, and there's the Better Streets. And then that's the sales tax that ended.
Yeah, that was in 5 years.
Correct, yes. So you'll have the balance sheet, and then you'll see the activities will be following the balance sheets.
Looks like Commissioner Pollack has a question.
Yes, Commissioner Pollack.
Yeah. Thanks for the information. This is still a work in progress, trying to figure out what's really in here. But I'm looking on page 57 under bank deposits. It says there was a reconciling adjustment of $51,876,821. Is that $51,876,000 that the city somehow didn't know they'd spent? I'm not quite understanding because it's a negative.
Yes, I see what you're looking at. I think it would be best if, because you do have a report and you get to ask a lot of questions, and normally we get that. If you wouldn't mind putting that in your questions, then we can give you the specifics for it.
Who do I send it to?
You can send any questions on the report to me, and I'll compile any questions from the commissioners, and we will arrange another presentation of business services coming back to answer those questions. And then those questions received by the commissioners also get incorporated into the report that the commission issues to mayor and council about their review of the annual financials.
Okay. And then could you tell me one more time where the bus fees, the transit fees, are what line item that is? Because I know that, you know, like you said, we're not charging fees right now, but could you, which,
sure.
I don't know what line item we were looking at.
Okay, so what I was talking about was on page 55. And there's a line that says transit fare program of $9,100,000.
Okay, and what does that mean? There's $9,100,000 set aside for transit fare?
We call it transit fare here, so that money is set aside knowing that the general fund is going to have to give an additional $9,100,000 to the mass transit fund because fares are not being collected.
Yeah.
So was
it offset by the COVID relief money? Is that over with, or is it still continuing?
Offset by COVID relief. Wasn't there CARES money that we received to waive our transit fares?
No. The CARES money that we received for transit funded the operations over the course of 2 years.
And when did that end?
I'm sorry.
When did that end?
Well, CARES passed in what, like May of 2020? So if it were 2 years.
I think it may have been, the last one would have been fiscal year 22. So it was broken up into two pieces.
Yeah.
Okay, so what this means, but this $9.1 million is that, this says as of June 30, 2022. So that just means there's $9.1 million set aside for the following year, basically?
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
That doesn't mean it's going to cost $9.1 million, but maybe that's the max that it could
be. So it was based on the fares that were being collected. So I would say it's going to be close, if not more.
Yeah. Because I know the city's talking about having free bus. And talking about where they're going to be coming up with this money, and it was just interesting to see the dollar number. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And again, as the commissioners have the opportunity to review the report, if you can send any questions on to me. It looks like Lydia has a question right now.
Yes, hi. I guess I always wonder when we get the draft, or we get the actual financial statements, if we can also get the single audit report. Has that not been issued? I couldn't find it online.
It has not been issued at the moment.
Oh, okay. What is there a reason that hasn't been issued, and what's the timeline on that?
I think... Yes. they're working on it. I'm gonna have to check, Lydia. I'm not sure if it's still with the auditor.
Okay, can I just make
for you.
Yeah, that's fine. Lydia, if you just can make a note like when that's available. I think that's
sure.
A comprehensive part of looking at this report is to look at that as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any other questions?
So that would take us back to item 8 to work.
Does the commission have any issues they would like to bring forth?
So we're on item 8, future agenda items. And of course, one of them will be the questions we receive on the annual comprehensive.
And I presume there will be, hopefully in the month's time, we'll be able to review the letter to the mayor's office.
Letter to the mayor.
Does anyone have any continuing issues with the police department?
Could you explain it to me?
Well, we've had several presentations from the police department, including their difficulty in recruiting, maintaining.
Chairman. Chairman, in reference to the police department, I'd just like a clarification. Is they mentioned that they would come back and give a more detailed presentation. I'm not sure about that. Can we have clarification on that issue, please?
So, Lieutenant Archibald, are willing to come back and give a follow-up presentation if there was more information the commission wanted from him, or if after enough requisite time just to give an update on hiring. That was in November. I don't know how much new information he would have yet, but he is willing to come back and discuss that if the commissioners would like.
I would appreciate any follow-up on that. Just a few issues regarding that. They mentioned that they would possibly come back to give more detailed information. And I don't know what the time frame is, but I was wondering if that's something that we could look into in the future.
In conjunction with that, I don't know if anyone else on the commission shares my concern with the amount of pedestrian casualties on our highways. I don't think it's just an issue of police, though. The police have certainly not maintained a sufficient road control. But it's also an issue of lighting. There's a number of issues that involve why so many people are becoming victims.
Pedestrians and bicycles.
Yeah.
I think that also brings in the number of police that are doing traffic. And I was at a city convention meeting recently where the city presented different departments and talked to a police representative there, and they painted a different picture, more positive. But my concern again was the amount of pedestrian deaths, speeding, and issues like that. And so quite alarming, actually. But I was just wondering if that's something that they could provide as far as an update, as well as staffing.
I'm sure that the police involvement in that is important. But there was some discussion, apparently that went nowhere, about reestablishing the photographs at traffic intersections. And certainly there's a question with our long blocks and lack of crossing spaces and the dim lighting along some of our highways all have an impact on the total noise that's going on in our roads.
Traffic intersection cameras were pretty controversial.
Yeah, they voted them out, but there was some discussion about trying to.
And is there a correlation there?
I don't think there's any question.
I believe the police department is launching a new initiative. I don't know how long or short term it is, to help address distracted driving. I saw something, I believe, on the news about that. And so it might be helpful if somebody, if people were interested, if somebody could speak to what initiatives they're doing on that. I know we had two pedestrian deaths at on Pima Street last year within a couple of months. And so everybody's being affected everywhere still.
Okay, maybe I can find some city staff to come in and give the commission a presentation to address this issue. It sounds like pedestrian deaths, distracted driving.
Pedestrians and bicycles.
And bicycles.
Mr. Chair,
Commissioner, can you stop using your phone? Because we're getting a lot of feedback.
Commissioner Andrews, in the January 4th meeting, we had established that the future agenda item would be to invite the Tucson Police Department to come back and continue the presentation with regard to labor negotiations and then some metrics from exit interviews, why they're losing department staff. But one element of their short staffing might be to include with that future agenda item how the short staffing is affecting those things that they're responsible for within the city, like traffic enforcement, all of those elements that we see as being problematic within the city of Tucson. Right now, there is no real traffic enforcement, and certainly no enforcement regarding pedestrian actions within the city. So I would like to see that if we're going to bring them back for this labor negotiation, if they can broaden that to also share with us how the short staff is affecting these very items.
I think that sounds like a great idea. I'd like to add to that, though, that it would be just as helpful to have Tucson DTM, Department of Transportation Mobility, come in and talk to us about their policies as to crossings and they follow certain practices to determine where they're going to put a crosswalk. And it's been known for quite a while that they don't want to strike crosswalks. And also, so it just, these practices that are at DTM, and I don't know what they all are, but it would be interesting to find out and couple that with the TPD, because TPD can't control everything. So just recently in Garden District, because of our two deaths on Pima Street within a block of each other, we put some pressure on the city through our ward office for DTM. So TPD actually helped us, and we went through DTM and our ward office. They put up two of these signs that say the speed limit, so in this case 30 miles per hour, and then it gives you an automatic feedback when you're driving your car how fast you're going. So it's a radar. And it doesn't give you a ticket or anything, but it does tell you how fast you're going. And they're very reluctant to put that up. Number one, probably because they have not budgeted for it. And number two, they just say, well, they typically say to us, well, those things don't work, or we don't do that in Tucson. They have these internal policies that none of us know what they are. And it would be interesting to have DTM come and talk additionally and see how they are supporting, you know, all of these, you know, what they're doing in order to reduce deaths, pedestrian deaths. They seem to be focusing on putting a hawk everywhere. And I think it's only because, I don't know, but I think it's partially because they get a grant from the government, the federal government possibly, and that pays for those hawks. But that alone doesn't do it. And all it's doing is blighting Tucson with more hawks and everybody stopping more. And then everybody hates pedestrians even more. So it would be good to find out what their policies are and why they're putting these up everywhere, and find out about their committees that they have that also give recommendations on these types of things. So the police department is one aspect, but, you know, other things can be done or are being done by DTM. So I'd like to see them come too. Or we can just outright do an audit of what practices they follow. So we talk about these things like Commissioner Clark was saying, but then in the end, we have no action. So I would really like to push for more audits or trying to narrow down what would be worth having an audit of, and go after those topics too.
Are you able to start out we put a number of things on the advanced agenda.
Yes.
Are you able to start them all out?
Yes, well, they're all, to an extent, some of them are very interrelated, right? If we're talking about the pedestrian deaths, and it's true that DTM, you know, and the police might both be able to speak to some aspect of that. Getting the police back for labor negotiations and exit interviews. And then the questions on the report and the letter to the mayor. I think that was what I've written down.
This is Commissioner Rodriguez. I have some concerns regarding the police department, the makeup of the police department, the diversity. They mentioned a breakdown of that, but they included administrative staff. I wanted to present more of the actual police officers and in the community also, more specific. I'm very concerned here in Ward 1 about speeding and drag racing. Being on the west side, there is, especially on Silverbell going up to all the way up to Marana, they use this as a long road that you get a lot of speeders, not to mention what's happening on A Mountain. I think one of the concerns at our Menlo Park Neighborhood Association meeting was speeding down our streets. Even though there is speed bumps, and at this about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, at the civics at the community center, all the city offices departments presented, and there was a transportation person there that talked about speed bumps and what it would mean to put that in your streets, and also the possibility of putting chicanes, which are sort of like one lane curbs that go out, restricting one car, and also turnarounds. So it was very informative. I think it might be also good to have the Department of I guess transportation to also speak to us about some of these concerns, especially involving speeding, pedestrian, how to prevent pedestrian deaths, and just slowing down the numerous speeders throughout town, actually.
Chairman Clark, members of the commission, just to summarize to make sure we get the right staff lined up for you, it sounds like we want TPD staff to talk about recruitment and hiring and exit and labor negotiations. Also TPD to talk about traffic stats. We want Department of Transportation to talk about pedestrian crossing, signage, and speed issues like road diet. Do you also want equity office? Commissioner Rodriguez mentioned some concerns about makeup of staff that was presented at like a summary level last time. We do have a office of equity that's been set up now, I think for about a year. It might be useful to get an idea of what they look at because it might be very close to what you might have an interest in. If all of those pieces sound correct, let me know and I'll go ahead and set up staff. I do suggest, like Commissioner Pollack mentioned, keep the end goal in mind as staff presents what the commission might want to, what the follow-up will be. Is there something there to review? Is there a policy that you can audit against? What is the end goal as the staff presents? Thank you.
That sounds good to me. Thank you.
I just had a comment, Mr. Chairman. I would be interested in looking at the question of the intersection cameras. If that's some part of what we're looking at in terms of deaths and how that's.
Well, I think there's always a problem as to it was voted off when we had them. And I don't know if anyone has, I've heard some rumors, but I don't know if anyone is actively working to get them back.
Just a report on what the status of matters are and what the impact would be to have them in place in terms of reducing deaths or intersection.
Again, Department of Transportation, who would be responsible for that? The Department of Transportation?
Aaron, do you know with the cameras at the intersections, is that more to be? Or would that be more police?
We'll track down the most appropriate staff and have them present.
We'll find out for you. Thank
you.
Sure thing.
Any other comments? Hearing none, we are adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman. Welcome, Mr. Chairman.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
Sounds like we could have some
fun.
Thank
you, everyone. You have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.
We need money.